get to China or not. Very exciting stuff. Today, though, the church, we're continuing with this series of becoming the kind of church God wants. This is part three, the third in our series. I believe that Jesus had in mind a certain kind of church, an image, when he told Peter that day in Caesarea Philippi, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." He had in mind the church that he was going to build. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. That should be our desire, shouldn't it? Is that your desire to be that kind of church that Jesus thought of when he says, "I'm going to build my church"? That's what he wanted. Can you imagine going to a restaurant? I go to a restaurant, I order one of my favorite dishes. One of my favorite ethnic foods, by the way, has got to be Malaysian food. I just like Malaysian food. I could eat that every day. And so I will go and order one of my favorite dishes of Malaysian, Papa Rich, yeah? I'm glad that one's opened up. I go and order one of my favorite dishes, which is nasi lemak. That's my favorite. Nasi lemak. The curvy chicken. Oh, wonderful stuff. What am I saying? I'm hungry. I go order this, and the waitress says, "Okay, no problem, sir," and leaves and comes back with this wonderful big hamburger. And I say, "I didn't order that." She says, "I know, but this is one of the best hamburgers, and you'll love it." I'm like, "Yes, but that's not what I ordered." And so I would say, "Please take it back and bring me what I asked for." Well, listen, whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. Who said, "I will build my church"? Jesus. He had in mind what he wanted when he established the church. And it's no good bringing him something else and saying, "Here, this is good enough. You'll like this." People have all different kinds of things that they think should be in a church. And often it's very shallow things. How loud the music should be, how quiet it should be, what kind of songs we should sing, how long the preacher should go on for, 30 minutes, 20 minutes, an hour. But this isn't what, as a church, we've been told to be. And that's what we got to re-examine and take a look at. We've seen, as we've been going through the last couple of weeks, we've seen what the church is, what the Bible describes the church as. What was the first thing? We've seen that the church is whose? It belongs to Christ. It's his church. We've seen that the church is the ecclesia, which means the not just assembly, but a called out assembly, a group that's been called out. So we've been called out. Called out from what? Called out from the, this is painful, the world. Called out from the world to go into the world, by the way. The church is, we are the church. So we got to be careful that we don't just get this idea of the church being this wonderful spiritual thing that is perfect in every way. And when we look at our church, well, it's not perfect and this can't be the real church. Jesus loved the church. The church is his called out people. And all through the New Testament, the epistles are written to real churches that are full of real people that are not perfect. Folks, IBC is the church. You are the church. The church is the body of Christ. And we all have a part to play in the body with Christ as the head. And we need the head. The head needs his body. We've seen the church as the flock of God. He is our shepherd. We are his sheep. And with all the implications that comes with, we need a good shepherd to watch over us, to protect us, to lead us. We've seen the church is the bride of Christ and how he sees his bride and how the culmination of history is going to be the bridegroom coming to receive his bride and the marriage supper of the Lamb that's going to take place, and what a joyous celebration that's going to be when the bridegroom comes to get his bride, who's been waiting for him, who's been prepared and is waiting. And we've seen the church is the family of God. A couple more this morning. And then the next one, we're going to shift gears a little bit, but still continuing with the church. But we're going to look at the beginning, the foundations, the start of the church. But for now, two more descriptions of the church. The first description here is the church is God's temple. God's temple. Let's take a look. Ephesians 2, verse 19. Paul writes, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Let's pray. Lord, help us to understand even further what the church is. And may we be examining our own hearts, ourselves, and say, Lord, are we what you envisioned when you said, "I will build my church"? I thank you for this church. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I ask that you stir us. Stir us, Lord, to see your vision of a church. And may we desire that in our hearts. May we pursue that with all of our hearts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So now the temple. What was the temple? The temple had been the place of worship for God's people. That had been the dwelling place of God, and the people went to the temple to worship him. Let me show you a picture. This picture here I took. This was at a place in Jerusalem called the Israel Museum, I believe it was just referred to. And this was a huge outdoor model, a scale model of Jerusalem during the time of Jesus. And the model itself was, I'd say, at least as big as our auditorium. Would you say, yeah? Okay, at least as big as our auditorium here. And you just walk around and examining Jerusalem during Jesus' time. It was fantastic. But I just wanted to show you this here is looking from the eastern gate here, looking into the Temple Mount and all of the rest of Jerusalem behind it. Give you a visual picture. As you can see, the temple itself was the prominent structure. It's one of the ancient wonders of the ancient world. And it's a prominent structure overlooking Jerusalem. There was no place you could be where you weren't affected. You couldn't see the temple itself. There were two temples. The first temple built by Solomon. David was Solomon's father, and he wanted to build the temple for the Lord. But God prevented him because he was a man of war. Okay, he was a man of war with blood on his hands, and God said, "No, your son is going to be the one to build the temple." Okay, so Solomon began to build it, and we see the description in 1 Kings 5 and 6. It was a massive project. Massive project. We see there were 30,000 woodcutters who went to get the trees, Lebanon trees, and they were divided into 10,000. So there were 30,000 cutters, lumberjacks, whatever you want to call them, and 10,000 would go and work for a month while the others would wait for their turn, and then so they'd rotate. So basically every 3 months you'd spend a month cutting the wood. There were 70,000 carriers, 80,000 stone cutters working in a quarry preparing the stone. And to oversee the project, there were some 3,300 supervisors that were established. This totals a large workforce of 183,300. Is Hamilton that big? That's the size of Hamilton or bigger, all working together to build this structure, incredible structure, Solomon's Temple, 8.1 million pounds of gold. You know how much that's worth at today's rate? I believe it's something like 186 billion dollars worth. That's a lot of gold. And remember, Solomon, the richest man at the time in the world. 76 million pounds of silver. Today's value, something like 18 billion. And this doesn't include the cost of the wood, the cedar, the bronze, precious stones, or taking care of all the workers, 183,000. You got that many people cutting and working in quarries, you got to feed them, you got to give them water. So this is a very impressive project for God's dwelling place, the temple. After it was done, after it was finished, what a sight it would have been. And Solomon brings in the Ark of the Covenant. While hundreds of priests and musicians were playing and singing and leading in worship, the Bible says there were 120 trumpet players alone, much less other instruments and all the singers. And then afterwards, Solomon prays a dedication, and we see in 2 Chronicles 6, verse 40, "Now, my God, I pray, let your eyes be open and let your ears be attentive to the prayer made in this place." And then in the next chapter, we have God's promise, the famous verse that says, "If my people will humble themselves and pray and repent and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear their prayers. I will heal their land." What a time that was. What a temple. And then in chapter 7, after Solomon had prayed, fire came down from heaven. And the Bible tells us that it consumed the burnt offering, and then the glory of God filled the place. Can you picture the sight being there with all the Israelites? And the temple is finally finished, and what an amazing structure this was. So many people had put so much into it. And you hear the songs, you hear the music, and it's just deafening, but yet everybody is so elated and excited and into the worship. It's not just a concert they're listening to, they're participating together. And then after Solomon's prayer of dedication, you see the fire come down from heaven, consuming the sacrifice. You feel the heat, you see the sights, and you feel it. The excitement on all the people. Would you like to have been there? But listen, because of Jesus, this is the concept. Something even more incredible has happened. Now we know, first of all, that each one of us, as followers of Christ, we have the Holy Spirit living within us, right? And so our bodies itself is the temple of God. But understand this, there is also that sense in which together we are God's temple. He is forming His temple, and we are each a part of that temple. As I said, I'd give anything to have been standing out there to see the sights and to witness it firsthand and watch it all take place, but I actually get something better. I am actually a literal part of His temple. And you are a literal part of His temple. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Peter understood that together we are being built by Him. He says, "I will build my church, and you're part of that building project." And he's hewn you out of some rock somewhere, and he's putting you together to be part of his temple that he's making. You're part of that temple. Jesus being the chief cornerstone, the apostles and prophets being the foundation. And it says house, a spiritual house, but a house is a dwelling place. And throwing in a holy priesthood indicates to us that it's referring to the dwelling place of God, the temple. What is the purpose of this temple? And us being the priests in this temple is to offer up sacrifices that are acceptable to God. And our life is a living sacrifice. Our lives are to be lived for Him, to live for the Lord. That is the daily sacrifice that we give to our Lord as priests in His holy house, His holy temple. Now, when Paul explained this mystery to the Corinthians, he gave a terrifying warning. He said in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, he says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Now, I want you first to know here that there are places, like when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know, "Marvel not that you must be born again. Unless you are born again, you will not see the kingdom of God." He was using a very specific word there, meaning you, Nicodemus. But this particular word here, this Greek word here that he's using, is a plural word. And so he's referring to you when he's writing to the Corinthians. He says, you, the Corinthian church, you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you. If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. And that's the warning. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So he said to the Corinthians, you are God's temple. And if anyone defiles that temple, God is going to deal with them. God is going to judge him. We need to be careful of that. Now imagine back at Solomon's temple, the unveiling of the temple in all its grand glory. With all that gold and silver and stuff, you can imagine the brightness of such a temple. But imagine it's all revealed and all the trumpets are blasting, the people are singing, and I come up to the temple and I pick up a hammer and I smack the side of it and break off a chunk. Well, first of all, would they be happy with me? No way. They would get me right quick, probably before I would even be able to swing that hammer. But yet, churches all over, there seem to be many that are willing to be divisive, do whatever they can to smash their temple, speak evil of others. We live in an age where we value our own personal critiques. I recently got onto this site by somebody in the church called Zomato. And maybe you have too. You know Zomato, that's a restaurant site. And you get to read up on what people think of all the restaurants. And then there's other ones, Airbnb. Same kind of thing. And every one of these places, you know, they want to know, what do you think? And you can leave your personal opinions, if it's good or not good, what you like, what you didn't like. And so we've gotten used to that. But a lot of people take the same thing and apply it to their church experience. And so they go try out a service or a church product. And their whole focus, instead of being in awe of the church being the temple of God and each one of us stones thereof, they begin to smash it. We need to be careful. We must be careful. Remember, the temple is the location where God chose to live on earth. And now that church is the temple of God. IBC is that temple. And that is a very big deal. One more, lastly. Only two today. One more. The church is, and you look at the sign here, it's a peculiar people. A peculiar people. This comes from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. In particular, comes from the King James version of the scripture. And I'll read it in the King James. It says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." The New King James, instead of saying a peculiar people, says a special people. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary says this: the word peculiar, it means two things. It means either characteristic of only one person, group, or thing, characteristic of them, or second, it means something that is different from the usual or normal, peculiar. Now, Peter's primary meaning here in 1 Peter chapter 2 is that first definition, that is characteristic of only one person. It implies kind of a belonging and ownership. And so when he says to the church, you are a peculiar people, you're peculiar to God, you are belonging to him. That's what it means. In this sense, I could use that word as follows. You know, Jennifer is peculiar to me. He can be odd at times, but what I'm meaning is not that so much as she is my wife, okay? And I am her husband. I am peculiar to her. But I believe that the church is both of these particular definitions of the word peculiar. IBC is both peculiar to the Lord, and IBC is peculiar odd as well. Let me explain a little bit. First of all, IBC is peculiar to the Lord. What do we mean by that? That we belong to him. We are a possession of him, like a bride to the bridegroom. We belong to him. 1 Corinthians 7:23, we're reminded here, but you were bought at a price, and do not become slaves of men. You've been bought at a price. You've been purchased. You belong to Jesus Christ. Don't be a slave to men. You belong to him now. The Apostle Peter agreed with Paul, referring to false teachers in 2 Peter 2, verse 1. When he referred to the false teacher, he says, even denying the Lord who bought them. The false teachers denied the one who bought them. We are peculiar to the Lord. Notice this verse from Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:20. You were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your body and your spirit belong to him. You are peculiar to him. Body and spirit. Notice the results of being peculiar to the Lord. We glorify God with both our bodies, the physical, as well as the spirit or the spiritual, which are both God's. They belong to God. That's the result of being peculiar to the Lord. Why does Paul say this? Both in your body and your spirit. Paul says this because during this time, many of the Christians were in the area in Corinth were affected by the teachings of Plato. Now, I've mentioned this before. Plato is the one that taught this dualistic approach to the universe. You have your physical, which is sinful, corrupt, and evil, and you have your spiritual. And the spirit is good and belongs to God. And so Christians, you know, brought some of this into their understanding of God and their relationship to him. And so this body, the physical, is bad and corrupt and full of sin, but spiritually we belong to God. So they separated the two. And Paul corrects this here. He says, no. If you are peculiar to the Lord, your body and spirit, everything belongs to God. It is His, and it is sanctified to Him. It is holy to Him. Now, we may laugh at that kind of thinking. What were they thinking? Bringing that kind of understanding in. But some Christians, I believe, act that very way today, even though they don't even know the name of Plato. Or dualism. They don't know it, but yet they still act it. They act that same way. They have this philosophy that what we do outside of the church doesn't matter so much. Yeah, I live my life outside of the church. I come to church and I give God my time and my spirit belongs to Him. Some actually have a philosophy that in order to reach the world, and we have to appeal to the world, and we have to become so much like them and appear like them in every way so that, you know, being a Christian sounds pretty good to the world. You don't have to change much. In fact, there's nothing really to change, just that your spirit now belongs to God, and eternity is settled. Isn't that wonderful? But Paul says, no. Your body, your spirit belongs to God. You are peculiar to God. That's one peculiar. Not only is IBC, as a church, to be peculiar to the Lord, body and spirit, but IBC is also peculiar odd. Amen? You are kind of odd. I mean, look at you. Look at each other. You're odd. How so? Let's explain a little bit. Two ways that we're odd. We're odd because of what we believe, our faith. And we're odd because of how we live, our actions. These two things. Let's look first at our faith. And by the way, when I say that, I'm talking about from the world's perspective. The world looks at this and they say, they're crazy, that's odd, that's just, why would you want to be that? And we don't want to appear odd for the wrong reasons, but if it's for our faith, which is a biblical faith, and if it's for our actions, which is obedience to the Lord, then praise the Lord for being odd. Our faith, though, when Paul went to Athens in Greece, he went there and he was teaching, you know, the Bible, teaching what God had to say and what God has done through Jesus. Some men pulled him aside and were very curious about his teaching. We read this in Acts 17. And in the verse 19 says, they said to him, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak?" This new teaching, belief. "For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." This teaching that you have, Paul, it's weird. It's odd. It's peculiar. And they were into learning and understanding new philosophy and stuff, but so they wanted to know what this weird teaching was that they had about God being the creator, about sin, about Him being that propitiation or that sacrifice, that atoning sacrifice that took away our sins for all who would believe and put their faith in Him. We want to know more about this strange thing. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2 that the natural man does not understand the things of God. The natural man. We've talked about that many times. That you have the natural, you have the spiritual. What is the natural? The natural is all of us and how we were born. That's natural. We're born in sin. We're born corrupt. We're born separated from God. We're born dead to God. That's the natural man. And the Bible says the natural man doesn't understand the things of God because they're spiritually dead. And so only the spiritual man, that is the one who has been made alive, the one whose spirit has been made alive with God again. And He can understand the things of God. And then when he reads of what God has done and who they are in Christ, it begins to make sense to him. And it's not so odd anymore. Why? Because he's spiritually alive. So we see the world take a look at our faith. And you got to admit, to them, many times it just seems peculiar, odd. Amen? It does. But that should not dissuade us from being open, sharing our faith. Yeah, it may seem odd to you, but let me share with you what you know, I've learned of the Lord, what I've learned of God, our faith. But the second thing that is peculiar, odd, is our lives, our actions. Is your life strange to those outside? Is your life strange to those outside of the church? It should be, but for the right reasons. For the right reasons. Peter put it this way in 1 Peter 4. They, the world outside, think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So they think you are odd, peculiar, odd in your life, your lifestyle, your actions, your activity. So much so, you're not running, you're not doing the same things they are doing. So much so that they speak evil of you. They slander you. They say bad things about you. That's peculiar, odd. But that's not just the faith, that's the actions, the obedience to the faith that they are referring to. They're looking at your lifestyle and the things that you are doing or that you're not doing and saying, man, they're just so strange, so odd. I don't want nothing to do with them. You shouldn't either. What is this flood of dissipation? Strong's, who wrote, you know, the Greek and Hebrew lexicon, that is the standard of Greek and Hebrew, he says the word used there for the flood of dissipation, the word isn't a real word, but it's unsavedness. Unsavedness. If we put it that way, they say that they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same unsavedness that they do. I like that term, unsavedness. That is one who is not saved, and the one who has not been saved by Jesus Christ. Unsavedness. Does the world say that about you, that you're not living in this, with the same unsavedness that they are? And then he says some of the things that he's referring to in the verse prior, verse number 3. He says, we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable heresies, or abominable idolatries. These are some of the kinds of things that we used to do, Peter was saying. And then he says, they think it's strange that you're not continuing in the same lifestyle anymore. Something's changed. And that something is that you belong to God now. And your faith is peculiar. And your actions now, because of your faith, is also to be peculiar. Not only do they think you're strange, but they sometimes will speak evil of you. What do you do? Do you get mad? Do you speak evil back? No. But realizing that they are living in unsavedness, that flood of dissipation, you pray for them. And you continue to be an example in faith and in action. You continue to be that example to them. So, church, thus far we've seen what the Bible says the church is. Isn't the church awesome? It is awesome. And so when Jesus says, I will build my church, we have a pretty good picture of what he was referring to. The church is his, first of all. The church is the ecclesia. We've been called out of the world. We are no longer part of the world and its system. We belong to God. But as a church, we've been called to go into the world, take the good news to the world. We see the church is IBC. It's real people. Real people who have been born again. Real people who have been gifted by the Holy Spirit for the edification of the church. Real people with faults as well, who don't always do right or don't always say the right thing, or sometimes may offend and hurt somebody else. Real people, though. But we're the church. We see the church is the body of Christ. It's the flock of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. It's the family of God. And today we see the church as the temple. And the magnificence and awe and wonder that the people saw when they saw the first temple finished. That should be the kind of awe and wonder that we have with what God has built with us, the people. And His Spirit lives in us. And together, He's building a temple, a holy temple. And yes, we are a peculiar people. A peculiar people. And sometimes that means belonging to the Lord. We are peculiar to Him, and we are. But sometimes that means peculiar, odd. And the world looks at us, and they see our faith, they see our actions, and it's odd. But listen, we cannot change that. And sometimes it is that oddness that people need to see. If they're going to see a change, if they're going to see something that God has done, they got to see that. Do people look at your life and see that you are odd? I hope so. Peculiar. Peculiar to the Lord. Peculiar, odd. Would you stand with me, please? With your head bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments to go to the Lord and thank Him for this thing called the church. Thank Him for this thing called the church, that you are a part of this temple that He's building, that magnificent structure. All that gold and silver, it was magnificent, but it was nothing compared to what Jesus is doing, what He's putting together with saved people from all different kinds of backgrounds. All different culture. But in Christ, He is making and creating a beautiful thing. The people around you right here are a part of that. They're a part of that. They're people like you are. They've been saved, they've been washed, they've been made new creations, but they are still works in progress like you. None of us are perfect, but He's using us to make that beautiful temple. Treasure that. And church, also remember who you are. You are peculiar. In both senses of the word, that you belong to Him, but also there are times that the world is just going to see us as strange. That we don't live like they live. That our faith, our beliefs are just a bit strange. And that's okay if we are faithful to Him. If we're faithful to the Word of God, we must be. If you're here today, my friends, and you've never been born again, you've never had a time in your life when you've come to faith, and you've repented of your sins and you asked Jesus to cleanse you from all of your sin. My friend, you must come to Him. You must repent. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other way to the Father except through Jesus. And all our goodness and all our personal efforts are nothing. It amounts to nothing compared to the holiness and perfection of God. We need Him. And so I urge you, if you've never trusted Jesus, today is that day for you. Come and talk to one of us. Come and talk to myself. Pastor Ken, I need to trust Jesus today. I want to be a part of His church. I want to be a part of His church right here at IBC and what He's been putting together. Thank you, Father. for this thing that you said you would make called the church. And Lord, as we re-examine it and what it is, I pray that you would put in us a new sense of awe, admiration, a new sense of excitement, anticipation to see what you are doing. And may we, Lord, submit to you. And may we endeavor to be that church that you envisioned in obedience to you. May we love it the way you love it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Take a seat if you would. We have a few announcements from Brother Bong, and we'll be ready to be dismissed.
Hello. So, fellow soldiers, we got our instruction from our commander-in-chief, instruction to live by. One thing very good, we belong. We belong to him. We belong in this church. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to this church. Okay. I would like to extend Pastor Ken's invitation. If you got questions, guys, if you got something you want to talk to, we got Pastor Ken, Pastor Mike, and their wives. You got me. Call us. Talk to us. For example, me, men, you've got something to talk to. You want somebody to have a chat with. I'm always available. Not always, but most Saturdays. Most Saturdays I'm available. Yes, I can come sit with you over a cup of coffee somewhere. Let's have a chat. Let's see what God has in store for you. I'm available, and I'm pretty sure most of our deacons are available too. Just come to us, see our wives. You got questions, you got something you want to unload, you need a friend? I'm here, mate. I'm here. Okay, so announcement. Okay. First of all, summer schedule, it will be until the 9th of, yes, summer holiday schedule, the 9th of, why did it say 2nd? It says 9th here. Yes, up to the 2nd of February, family worship service will, okay, I'm mixed up. Okay, 10 a.m. family worship up to the 2nd of February. Now, on the 9th of February, there will be a new schedule resumes. However, I don't know, have you announced it already? Not yet. Do you want to talk about it? Okay. This is yes. This is the big one.
Okay, just in our leadership have come together, we've talked, and what we want to do starting on the 9th is continue to meet as one body for now at 10 o'clock, like we are right now. Our Bible studies will resume, though, at 9 o'clock. So this is a change of our schedule.
Schedule.
Okay, this is a change. And we think for a season, for now, this would be a good step to bring us together and unite us as one body, continue this year in the Lord. So pray about it and take note. 10 o'clock on the 9th of February, Bible study at 9 o'clock. Okay? So I know it's going to affect some of the ministries, but just keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Kay. Youth camp this week.
All right, so it is that time of year. We got youth camp coming up this coming Tuesday. So those who are going to camp, we're going to meet here at IBC at 10:30, okay? And we'll get ready to leave and head down to Taupo. So thank you all for paying on time. I think that's like the first camp we've had in a long, long time that everyone's got it all in on time. So thank you. And for the forms as well. Let's see, what else is there? No, that's about it. But just be in prayer for them as they're going down to camp. Pray for the other churches that are coming as well. And also, we have a video. John, do we have the video up there? No video? Nothing? No?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. Anyway, see me after about things, what not to bring, what to bring, and we'll get that sorted. Okay? So.
Thank you, Brother Josh. Next one would be much anticipated. Yes. On the 26th of January, 10 a.m., Chinese New Year. My mother used to say I have a little bit of Chinese blood in me. So, yeah. So I'm included into that. So bring a dish to share and come along in your traditional clothing. I have my favorite Chinese, I don't know what it's called, but it's nice. So, yeah, so be here. Also, Filipinos, probably you can come with your barong Tagalog. For the Westerners, probably, I don't know what's your traditional, but what I can see is you have a coat and a tie. That's your traditional. I don't know. But yes, do come and invite people. We are a family, all right? Now, we have family members that went to other places. Bring them back, you know. Come back here. You're a family. So Chinese New Year, remember that. Another exciting thing coming up would be the Creation Ministries International. That would be on the 2nd of February. We have somebody, which his name is Mark James. Science and the Bible. Conflict or confirmation? This is interesting. Be here. Especially with nowadays, information and knowledge has increased, and all this. See, you can see in the television about this evolution, about science, and it will be very good for us to come here and know more about this special group of people, about the Creation Ministries. And maybe at the end of the service, maybe you have questions, you can go talk to James, Mark James. So come, invite friends. Now, it's a big one as well. Pastor Ken have not mentioned it yet, or he may have. Commencing at the 12th of February, okay, folks, we will, for a season, for a term, we will have, it will not be for the whole year. It will be every Wednesday, 7 p.m., about an hour and a half or 2 hours, every Sunday would be a prayer meeting day. Okay, now, most of us are in a life group, right? I would like to encourage all the life groups, members, and leaders that it's up to you if you carry on meeting during the week as per your normal schedule. But we would like to, the leadership of the church would like to encourage you to attend on this one. Because there's a lot going on in the church. There's a lot going on in our communities. There's a lot going on in our country. And we need to go back to prayer as a body of the church, as a family. You have heard this, a family that prays together, stays together, something like that. So we are a family. So it may be that for a term, that your life group maybe, instead of meeting on whatever day you're meeting, meet on this one. Because the leadership, the church believes that this is our priority for now. For a term, one term, just a term number one. And then after that, the life group can resume on your normal schedule, especially the ones meeting on Wednesdays. They are the ones more affected. So, but it depends on your life group. If you still want to, you know, carry on the ones meeting on a Friday, on a Saturday, on a Monday, on a Tuesday, if you want to carry on meeting that on those days, please continue. But if not, then I would like us to encourage that we will do this one. And as a body, as a family, let's go back down to our knees and ask God for wisdom. Ask God for enabling. Folks, we have a work God has given for us. We are a soldier, and God has given us an order to go. And pastor and the leadership of the church has sensed this need that we need to rally. We need to go back. We need to, that's why we have the first service. We need to once again be united and carry on the work that God has given to us. So that would be 12th of February, Wednesday, 7 p.m. And those who don't have a life group, my life group is open. So that's an open invitation. Please see Ate Helen and Kuya Jimmy. We meet every Fridays. Okay. Now, but we have heaps of life groups. Please be on a life group. Be on a life. Be connected. If you are not connected, life would be more challenging for you as a Christian. Be on a life group. Okay. The missionary we pray for this week is pray for Jason and Valencia Go. Remember Jason? Remember Jason? Nobody? Come on. Remember Jason? Yes, I see more hands now. Yeah, he was here last year. He was our guest speaker during our missions month. Please, now you have a face to the name, right? You still remember his face? You know, he's handsome as me. Second to Pastor Ken. Okay, so yeah, please continue to pray for them and the ministries. He's got tremendous ministries going on. God has used him in that part of the world. Please continue. Pray for encouragement, for more fruits on their labor, that God will open more opportunities. Also, Brother Booth is here and Caroline. So continue to pray for them, our missionaries. We love them. We love you. Okay, and new letters are posted at the back. Please have time to go there and read through. Okay, lastly, birthdays. Do we have birthdays celebration? I think this time of the year, we always have a few. That would be from Monday until next Sunday. From today till Saturday, thank you. All right, birthdays, anniversaries. Nobody? Okay. Anniversaries? There he is. He's coming down. We'll wait for you, brother. Come on. Is this birthday? Anniversary. Okay. All right. Okay. Okay, let's all stand up, please, and let's sing Happy Anniversary. Okay. Happy anniversary to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Bong. Didn't he do a fantastic job today? And greetings and stories and appreciate that. Be sure to greet each other. Enjoy some fellowship before you head out. Go out into the world. And as you go out, you remember who you are in Christ, not only individually, but you are part of the church. You are the church Monday through Saturday, and we come together to meet on Sunday. Thank you, Father, for this church that you have established, and I pray your blessings on it as they leave this place, as they live for you, as they offer spiritual sacrifices daily in their obedience, in their sharing, Lord, who they are in Christ with others and what you have done. May we be a faithful church, and may we stand in awe and wonder of what you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.